First reading is from Romans chapter 5. It can be found in page 1132 in this Blue Church Bible. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from John chapter 16, verses 12 to 15, and is on page 1084 in the Church Bibles. John 16, verses 12 to 15. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Then, last Sunday, the Pentecost, and the event is the Holy Spirit came. But today, as Phil already reminded us that it is Trinity Sunday, it is not about the event, and if you like, you can call that today is the Sunday when we focus on a doctrinal issue. Now, I can see already some faces that doctrinal issue, I want to switch off. That, yes, but please, before, don't switch off. And the younger generation, don't reach to your mobile to see if Google can guide you how to assassinate retired clergy. Because, you know, the reality is that when it is about the doctrine, we often think that it is some sort of a mind knowledge business. And especially churches like us here, a church, charismatic church, we are more interested in heart matters than the head matters. Not that we are dumb, of course we are not, but we respond more with heart than with head. That is sort of attitude, and we try to switch off, but as I said, please don't do that, because you know that... The Trinity, or the understanding of God existing in three persons, is actually more a matter of heart than anything else. How come? I thought that everything related to the doctrine is just here, nothing here. No, Trinity is heart of matter. A great theologian of our own country, professor, doctor, priest, named Gerald Bray, in his book, The Doctrine of God, writes this: The Trinity belongs to the inner life of God and can be known only by those who share in that life. As long as we look at God on the outside, we shall never see beyond his unity. And he goes on to say, this means that an outside observer will never detect the inner reality of God and will never enter the communion with him which is promised to us in Christ Jesus. It is the matter of heart. I think also a lot of the time we feel switching off because we are so used to hearing all those sort of, that explanations, different kind of analogies given that how you can explain the Trinity. But with me, the difficulty is that how can you explain fully God? You know, all those wonderful, the examples that, that the water, the ice and the steam and so on, they are just wonderful things. And I can give you, because Trinity was one of the subject when I was doing theology, that I can give you many idea, those sort of understandings as well to make sense. But that is, again, does not make the sense. Because whenever we try that way, it reminds me a story of a young lad who, went home from the Bible study with the youth worker, with Evie. I'm just mentioning the name, it doesn't mean it happened here. That he went home, mother was in the kitchen, and his mom asked that, what did you learn today? He said that, Mom, Evie taught us that God is present everywhere. Well, son, that is of course true. So, you mean he is present in toilet? And she said, well, son, yes. He said, bother. Then he said, Mom was cooking. Is God in the oven when it is very hot? Mom said, well, yes, he is there as well. On the table, there was one food jar, and the lid was open. And he said that, Mom, is God in this jar as well? She said, yes. And he said, well, is he still there if the lid is put on it? She said, well, I suppose so. He is still there. So he quickly put the lid and said, got him. all those sort of explanations, they're like that. We try, but we don't always make the sense because you cannot fully understand God. And many, many people accuse Christians that what, even within the churches, and forgive me, I have spent many years ministering the churches, that people themselves in churches say, well, why on earth this sort of hard concept to believe in? But which concept of God is easy to believe? Is Unitarian easy? Or my forefathers' religion, Hinduism, millions of gods, is that easy? God to understand and to grasp is difficult, but yet we believe. Before I come to that, why I believe and why I encourage people to believe, let me say that what Trinity is not. Very often those who attack this doctrine, they first of all accuse Paul. Well, it must be Paul that who created this sort of a business that hard to grasp, hard to understand. But that before Paul existed even before Christ Jesus took human form, the Trinity concept, plurality in God, was there. Often people think it is in the New Testament. No, the Old Testament is full of the reality that one God exists in plurality. The second, obviously, in our own days, was very much popularized by, we remember that famous novel, Da Vinci Code? Are we familiar with that? Yeah, we're familiar. Most of us, we are. And on page 315, the writer talks about that when this concept Trinity was created, it was created at the Council of Nicaea, from where we get our creed, Nicene creed, that 325 AD, and he writes on that page, "My dear Tobing declared, until that moment in history," that is Nicene Creed 325, "Jesus was viewed by his followers as a mortal prophet, a great and powerful man, but a man nonetheless, a mortal." So accusing that it was some sort of a church gimmick in 325 AD that the concept of Trinity got birth, which is absolutely not true, because even before that council, all these early church fathers, they did not fully understood the way, say, us humble priests today, like me, Phil, others understand, because knowledge was still more and more coming out. They wholeheartedly believed that three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they are co-equal. And Phil referred to our today's two passages, and they are indeed very powerful in so many ways. But when we are talking about the Trinity, you look carefully on those passages. Trinity is already in those two passages as well. It's not only just Jesus saying, go and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You unpack the New Testament and you will find everywhere three together. And in today's our passage, the gospel passage, for instance, the whole ministry of Jesus was to glorify who? Father. And look at chapter 16, 12 to 15. What was going to be one of the work of the Holy Spirit? To glorify who? Jesus Christ. So can you see the interdependence, interwoven everything between these three, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? But as I mentioned earlier, it is not in some isolated New Testament passages that God has revealed himself as three persons, but whole Old Testament is full of that. Our Old Testament reading today is Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 to 4 and 22 to 31, where we see the wisdom being personified. And all these early church fathers I referred to, they very often mentioned that particular passage to say that how that God is plural, because wisdom, and you see in the New Testament, Paul writing, who is God's wisdom? It's Christ Jesus. Yeah? That how Son was already present at the beginning with the Father. And you know that if you look the first five books of the Old Testament, often it is thought, believed, that Moses wrote them. And in all those five books, the most of the time, Moses uses the term for God is not Yahweh. It is Elohim. And the little Hebrew, what I learned and I still remember, that Elohim is actually the plural of Eloh. So whenever it is pagan gods used as plus with small g and s at the end, gods, same word, Elohim. But when it comes to the Bible, God of the Bible, because the verb is singular, it's always God. It is plural, but it is singular as well. So that's the mystery already in the very first books of your Bible. So it is not Napo, Rector, or Phil, or anybody else gimmick, but it is in the God's word, which says that God exists in plurality. And actually, if you want, you can go to Isaiah chapter 46, and you will see there that all the three actually are present. Have a look at that chapter in your own moment of quiet from the New International Version and see that how the three are there. But my favorite, one of the favorites, is actually in the book of Proverbs. And please do read yourself as well if you want. It is Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4. What does it say? Let me read it to you. Who has gathered up the wind in the hollow of his hands? Who has wrapped up the waters in his cloak? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And look the next. And what is the name of his son? It is the Jewish scripture that wholeheartedly believed in one God and says that who gathered all this? And the answer to any Jewish would be God. What is his name and what is the name of his son? It is all there in the scriptures. Obviously, the fuller revelation is revealed about the Trinity in the New Testament, and understandably, because it is in the New Testament that the Word, the Lord Jesus, became flesh and the Holy Spirit took his place within the church, within the body of Christ. Trinity, once again, if I may say, it is not a doctrinal mystery as such or a gimmick. It is how God has revealed himself. I hope it made some sense, but if I failed, I will give you the key how to understand the Trinity. Trinity would never be understood by fancy words of a preacher. If you want to understand and have that true relationship with triune God, the key is the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to open your heart so you can see the inner being of God too. You can see the heart of God too. It is then you will understand that what it means that God is personal God. Because it is in Trinity that I believe, and I believe it is true about you as well, that God knows me by name. It is only Trinitarian God who can do that because he becomes personal. May God give you the grace to trust God's word and all over the centuries church had taught. Amen.